Chapter 22. The estate of Reuben Vincent Attlee was opened for probate in the courtroom where he had presided for 32 years. High on the oak-paneled wall behind the bench, a grim-faced Judge Attlee looked down upon the proceedings from between the Stars and Stripes and the state flag of Mississippi. It was the same portrait they had placed near his coffin during the courthouse wake 3 weeks earlier. Now it was back where it belonged, in a place where it would undoubtedly hang forever. The man who had ended his career and sent him into exile and seclusion at Maple Run was Mike Farr from Holly Springs. He had been re-elected once and, according to Harry Rex, was doing a credible job. Chancellor Farr reviewed the petition for letters of administration, and he studied the one-page will attached to the filings. The courtroom was busy with lawyers and clerks milling about, filing papers and chatting with clients. It was a day set aside for uncontested matters and quick motions. Ray sat in the front row while Harry Rex was at the bench, whispering back and forth with Chancellor Farr. Next to Ray was Forrest, who, other than the faded bruises under his eyes, looked as normal as possible. He had insisted that he would not be present when probate was opened, but a tongue-lashing from Harry Rex had persuaded him otherwise. He had finally come home to Ellie's, the usual return from the streets without a word to anyone about where he'd been or what he'd been up to. No one wanted to know. There was no mention of a job, so Ray was assuming his brief career as a medical screener for the Skinny Ben lawyers was over. Every 5 minutes, a lawyer would crouch in the aisle, stick out a hand, and tell Ray what a fine man his father had been. Of course, Ray was supposed to know all of them because they knew him. No one spoke to Forrest. Harry Rex motioned for Ray to join them at the bench. Chancellor Farr greeted him warmly.
"Your father was a fine man and a great judge," he said, leaning down.
"Thank you," Ray replied. "Then why, during the campaign, did you say he was too old and out of touch?" Ray wanted to ask. It had been 9 years earlier and seemed like 50. With the passing of his father, everything in Ford County was now decades older.
"You teach law?" Chancellor Farr asked.
"Yes, at the University of Virginia." He nodded his approval and asked,
"All the heirs are present?"
"Yes, sir," answered Ray. "It's just my brother Forrest and myself."
"And both of you have read this one-page document that purports to be the last will and testament of Reuben Attlee?"
"Yes, sir."
"And there is no objection to this will being probated?"
"No, sir."
"Very well. Pursuant to this will, I will appoint you as the executor of your late father's estate. Notice to creditors will be filed today and published in a local paper. I'll waive the bond. Inventory and accounting will be due pursuant to the statute."
Ray had heard his father utter those same instructions 100 times. He glanced up at Judge Farr.
"Anything further, Mr. Vonner?"
"No, Your Honor."
"I'm very sorry, Mr. Attlee," he said.
"Thank you, Your Honor." For lunch, they went to Claude's and ordered fried catfish. Ray had been back for 2 days, and he could already feel his arteries choking. Forrest had little to say. He was not clean, and his system was polluted. Ray's plans were vague. He wanted to visit some friends around the state, he said. There was no hurry to return to Virginia. Forrest left them after lunch, said he was going back to Memphis.
"Will you be at Ellie's?" Ray asked.
"Maybe,"
was his only reply.